Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the benefits of breastfeeding have become such accepted truths that you may have done a double take if you saw the cover of this month's Atlantic magazine. Right there in black and white, it says, "The Case Against Breastfeeding." We were intrigued, so we invited the author of the article, Atlantic contributing editor, Hannah Rosen. Hannah, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We'll open the phones on this right away for women and men who've read the story. Have you ever bridled against the taboo of saying anything negative against breastfeeding? If you didn't breastfeed, did you feel guilty about it? Or anyone who's outraged by the article, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I guess we should say that despite the provocative title, your article does not advocate that people stop breastfeeding, correct?
No, not really. I'm still breastfeeding myself, for example, my third child, as we speak. No, not as we speak, but in this moment in time. And so, no, it doesn't actually advocate that.
So what was your motivation to write this story?
My motivation was that this is my third child, and so I'm not quite as vulnerable as I was with my first child. And when I actually sat down to read the scientific literature, which I did for various reasons, I was kind of surprised at how different it is than the popular literature, those magazines you see when you're in your OBGYN's office, you open them up. They make you believe that, you know, you breastfeed, your kid will be smarter or healthier, you'll prevent all kinds of diseases, that there's this sort of, you know, march of progress and science showing all these things. And then you read the scientific literature and you realize it's not nearly that solid block of evidence building up. And so I was just kind of curious about that. And then, you know, and I think back to all these stories of, for me, it was pretty easy with my first kid. I had 6 months of paid maternity leave. I didn't have any other kids, obviously. And so it really wasn't a problem. But I think back on my friends who are like pumping and going through all these contortions and who really can't breastfeed. And I'm not just saying like, oh, they had a hard time in the beginning. We all have a hard time in the beginning. There's some people who really can't. And they feel just absolutely devastated by that. And at no point does anyone tell him, like, look, this is crazy. Don't do this pumping forever and ever. It's not, you know, it's not this great. It's not like you're smoking in your kid's face. It's not the equivalent. So I just feel like we've sort of gone too far in the other direction.
In fact, you draw a provocative parallel between the vacuum cleaner in the Betty Friedan era and breastfeeding today. Really?
Right. That was, I happen to have been reading Betty Friedan, and then the analogy is the sucking sound when I talk about how, you know, there were all these domestic responsibilities that would keep a woman home in the Betty Friedan era, the happy housewife heroine is what she sardonically called it, and that breastfeeding is that sort of equivalent in our era, where it's the thing that sort of, you know, makes it, you know, necessary that you be home and you know, you get the 6 month maternity leave and you really just kind of, you know, focus. And then, you know, the recommendations are 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding, and then that should continue for a year. And that's a really pretty serious time commitment. And I guess mostly by that provocation, I just want people to talk about that, to understand that when they're asking women to breastfeed for 6 months exclusively and then for a year, sort of what does that mean in terms of, you know, your work, your other children, your marriage? I mean, there's all sorts of other things that should come into play when you're making that decision, not just kind of, are you harming your child? Are you putting them at great risk?
So I don't think we have a lot of listeners in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, but Dr. Miriam Labuck from the University of North Carolina is calling in. Dr. Labuck, is that how you say it?
That's fine.
Thank you for calling. And you wanted to say?
Well, I have read the Atlantic article, and I listened to today's show this morning, and I think that Dr. Rosen has a point in that our society absolutely does not support breastfeeding. We make it very difficult for women to breastfeed. At the same time, I'm very disappointed in the coverage to see medical literature reviewed by people who are not familiar with reading critical research articles in medicine and reaching conclusions that don't support what the vast majority of the medical community
So tell me if you disagree with what Hannah was saying, and I don't think you're a doctor, Hannah, right?
No, I'm not
okay.
a doctor, no.
But if you disagree with what she was saying, which was that the medical press doesn't have the same absolutist quality when it comes to breastfeeding as the popular press interpretations of the medical literature. Do you disagree with that?
I don't think the popular press has gone far enough to get the correct information out. I think we have three real problems out there. One is that our society objectifies women's bodies, which automatically puts breastfeeding into sort of a difficult situation. The second thing is we're not getting the word out properly. And in that regard, I do agree that we need to do more to get the accurate scientific information out there to women who are making these decisions about their families. It's so much more than just a nice thing to do. Breastfeeding does have health impacts that have been documented by the U.S. government, by fine medical institutions like the U.S. government. And when we look at the data with a scientifically sound critical review, it is very clear that there are positive impacts. And then, of course, we are dealing with the fact that the formula companies are, you know, $20 billion business, yes. And they know how to market.
So maybe there's
no question. They're very good at it.
Maybe there's a cultural divide here between North Carolina, where maybe people aren't encouraged to breastfeed, and say Park Slope,
where people feel it's almost mandatory. I don't think it's geographic. I think there is a social issue here, and I totally agree with that. We have a societal issue where certain segments of society feel that they must do something. But, you know, we try to support many good health things through a little bit of guilt. The whole concept of the mommy wars is really a U.S. idea. If you go to Europe, where women get paid maternity leave, where families, whole families, support breastfeeding not only for the health of the children, but the health of the women, you don't get into this kind of social controversy.
Hannah Rosen, do you want to engage Dr. Lubbock here?
Yes, sure. I mean, I'm not a scientist. That is absolutely true. I mean, my argument is that there should just be more common sense in this argument. That is, I don't think that we need more science. I think we need more sort of balanced presentation of the science. I think the word is out there. I just think the word is slightly skewed, you know. The fact that people who are not scientists are reading things in popular magazines from so-called experts and doctors, which say it's been absolutely proven that breastfeeding, you know, prevents obesity, that it prevents diabetes, that it prevents allergies. Well, the fact is we don't have anything close to that kind of scientific consensus except on a couple of issues, which is gastrointestinal disease and then some protection against infection. But, you know,
I would disagree with your reading of the scientific literature, Hannah. Honestly, it's very clear that the impact of breastfeeding on maternal and child health is significant and measurable, and the studies show it. So I think if we were going to have an honest debate about this, we really should have medical expertise in the discussion.
I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to get some other voices on, but we appreciate your call and your views. Gail and Ossining, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had my daughter 17 years ago, and I had a major postpartum depression. And because of all that the doctor was saying, I felt that I simply had to breastfeed. And I had a very difficult time with breastfeeding, along with my mood disorder, which was really interfering with my relationship with my new daughter. And I kept struggling to breastfeed. And I knew that on some level that I really needed to take antidepressant medication, but I knew that I wouldn't be able to breastfeed if I did that. So I kept struggling, and it was not doing either one of us any good until finally, after 3 weeks, my OBGYN absolutely insisted that I get on medication. And within a few weeks, I felt much better. My relationship
with
my... And
so you stopped breastfeeding so you wouldn't pass the medication along, correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And it was really a struggle. I was completely guilt-ridden, and my daughter clearly enjoyed the bottle because apparently I wasn't producing enough milk, so it hadn't done either of us any good.
Gail, thank you. Well, there's the anecdotal evidence on the other side, Hannah, on your side.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic case. It's like that's a classic case of when many things need to be weighed. In other words, if you present it as, you know, what mother reading this evidence saying you're going to make your child sick if you don't do this is not going to do it, you know? But you have to weigh it against all these other things going on. You know, becoming a new mother is a very complicated moment. Depression you could have, or you could maybe have not a supportive situation, or maybe you have to go back to work. There's sort of lots of other things that, you know, should be on the sort of plus and minus side. So if you have this app absolute big, huge rock on one side, then you feel incredibly guilty if you put anything on the other side. And, you know, the scientific evidence certainly doesn't support that. I mean, we have whole generations of kids, myself included, who were raised not breastfed. And so, you know.
And we're going to pretty much have to leave it here. But just from our comments page, we're getting things like, thank you so much for this. I struggled to breastfeed post C-section with lots of marital and job stress and returning to work with an 8-week-old. I nursed for 8 weeks with some supplements, but she was failing to thrive. Enfamil saved me, the supplement. Someone else wrote, this is an example of how breastfeeding is not universally the best thing, referring to the previous caller. Others are mastitis, work, stress. And finally, just because you mentioned the Betty Friedan era and the equivalent of vacuum cleaning, somebody reminded us that didn't the Pope just say that the vacuum cleaner was the single most effective improvement?
I thought it was the washing machine.
In women's lives?
It's one of those, right?
Same difference, right? Okay,
right.
Hannah Rosen, her cover story in the Atlantic Monthly is called The Case Against Breastfeeding. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will meet a former New York City cop. Says he was a bad cop, but he may have been the department's funniest cop. Stay with us.